Well, as I mentioned elsewhere on the show, a bit of a Facebook rant I did in the last couple of days has gone absolutely nuts. Over 100 comments, really just talking about we're now seeing helicopters in the skies over Cairns on a fairly regular basis. And apart from the cost to taxpayers, which we've been trying to find out from the state government, the local MPs just are not answering any of our questions. I've certainly invited Michael Healy, member for Cairns, on the show numerous times, including this week, but there is just absolute dead silence coming from his office, which is a great shame. Someone who I was also keen to talk to on this issue is the leader of Katter's Australia Party here in Queensland, Robbie Katter. I spoke to Robbie almost exactly 6 months ago on the issue of these remote bush camps, whatever you want to call them, these remote camps, potentially as a sentencing option that the Katter Party has put forward. I think it's a fantastic idea. It absolutely needs to be explored and trialled. So I've put in a call to Robbie just to get a bit of an update on that front, as well as a couple of other youth crime matters. Robbie, welcome to the King Review, first of all.
Thanks for having me, Gavin.
Mate, as I said there, we spoke at length, in fact, about 6 months ago in early April about this concept. You released this policy, I think, a few months before that. Any response from this state Labor government?
Yeah, we've had numerous meetings, interactions with ministers, Attorney General and the like, and the police minister, the youth justice minister, and we've been very consistent in our messaging to them. And I think very polite and very patient, and patience is certainly worn out. And I guess those ministers are just banking on the fact that we'll start to look like whingers and that we're making some of this stuff up, or that it's irrelevant what we're saying. I guess they're banking on that because we've tried to engage constructively, and their biggest response, the best they come up with response is there's no evidence that this stuff works, which is partly false statement for them to make, because there is some evidence that it works. And the second response is, well, what else have you got? Because you're not trying anything else different.
That's right.
You got to step out on a limb every now and again. And they obviously don't think it's an important enough issue to try anything new, as this would be a pretty cost-effective solution for them.
Well, Robbie, it's very timely to have a chat to you, because just in the last day or so, Cairns has hit 990 stolen cars so far this year. So in the next few days after this show goes to air, we will no doubt surpass the 1,000 stolen car mark. You look back to 2016, as far as I could find records from police, there were 602 cars stolen. So we're only just entering into October and we will surpass 1,000 cars. So surely they need to trial. Just look at this concept of a remote bush camp, because what they're doing just is not working.
Yeah, I guess, what we're all looking for, Gavin, is to provide these kids with a consequence. And we've got to meet the bleeding hearts and in the middle, and who, think you got to kiss and cuddle them all the way to becoming better people, or, back into at least being a bit more constructive members of society. We've got to try and meet them in the middle. So, lock them up and throw away the key. Politically, that's not really an option. But how about we provide a consequence for them by saying the only option the magistrate's got at the moment is send them to Cleveland Bay Youth Detention Centre or put them back on the street with bail conditions, both of which doesn't really worry most of these kids. In fact, some
That's
of them
right.
are actually looking for that as an option.
Exactly.
They're actively seeking that
they enjoy
option.
It.
So they enjoy it. So bail or whatever doesn't make any scrap of difference. But if you can turn that conversation around at the magistrate and to now say, mate, you're not going to Townsville anymore, you're not going to apply into Townsville, you're going out to Yirrandanji on the Northern Territory border. So good luck. We'll see you in 12 months. That's a consequence for him. And the good news for everybody is that's the best chance you've got to turn that kid around
exactly.
as well, because they don't listen to you in those youth detention centres or play parks for them. Out there, they've got the silence of the bush, the remoteness, and that's where these programs and these people that want to work in that space, the best chance they've got of engaging them. So, and it doesn't have to be one. It could be five of these around the place and different styles. And different focuses on each one, but you've got somewhere, and that's a cheap option, because it's just like a mining camp where, half the state's mining population live in dongas, air-conditioned dongas with catering and whatever else out there. There's nowhere for them to escape to, so you don't have to worry about fences too much. If that's not worth trying, I'm a monkey's uncle. Because the other point here is, that we do have some evidence here. I've seen kids at the Urundanji school. I mean, I use that as an example. It doesn't have to be Urundanji,
yes,
but kids literally that were like worst kids in my eyes. I've seen them in Urundanji perfect. They were model students there because they're just, I mean, they're just teachers that care for them, and they turn up and there's no skate park, no phone coverage out there, nothing.
Mm.
But they were behaving themselves. Why is that? Because it's remote. So there's some evidence there. And also when the LNP were in government did those boot camps, the recidivism rate of the kids attending that camp was something like 40, it was 40-something percent. Now, the recidivism rate, and all these figures are very hard to prize loose from the government because
yes.
they're, you know, trying to get stolen cars and everything, they're guarding all this stuff more and more. But you can use the privilege of being in Parliament and question time to try and get those. And Nick Dumetto, my colleague, got the Attorney General that's over 90% recidivism rate.
Yeah, I had your colleague Nick Dumetto on the show a couple of weeks ago to talk about those just insane statistics on those repeat offenders. You're right, up over 90% out of Cleveland. So clearly that is not working at all. Robbie, I mean, I'm just so, it's just exasperating to think that, as you said, you've worked constructively, you've thought about this concept, you've held meetings, you've done all the right things, and yet it just falls on deaf ears. I mean, paint us a picture for listeners. When you're sitting down with the Youth Justice Minister or the Police Minister or the Attorney General, I mean, what do they say to knock this concept on the head?
Well, normally you only get the meeting or something after agitating by, you know, having a go at them in question time or, you know, having a crack. So usually initially they're offended. But I guess, you know, somehow or other you still get a meeting. But and I think they seem to be in earnestly asking, you know, what do you think? But as soon as you say anything, they shut it down. They listen to their bureaucrats. And I think with the bureaucrats, it means they have to acknowledge that they haven't been doing a good job by inviting in some new options. So they don't like anyone new coming, especially outside their field, to give them some options of what they should be doing. And they're much more likely to hide behind their bureaucrats than go out on a limb and try and solve these things. And as you said earlier, like, you know, it's you need to own this stuff from government. And the MP, this cannot work unless the MPs, local MPs, whether LNP, Labor, whatever, unless we're all saying the same thing. And then that gives the government no option but to act.
That's right.
But if when you've got local MPs, your local Labor MPs running protection rackets for the government, we're all at a loss. And I would probably judge them the worst in this scenario because they're the ones that held the key to turning the government around on this. And where are they? You've got to at least acknowledge this problem and own it in public and not hide, go hiding on it. And I would be much more accepting of the government, the Labor MPs, now if they were out in public saying, look, we know it's really bad. We're not sure if we've got the, you know, I don't know, or we're not going to do anything more is still acceptable. It would be more acceptable if they at least acknowledge the problem. But I don't see them out in the media at all saying this is the problem. And that's a real indictment on their integrity and their performance.
I mean, we know that political parties don't agree on much. I mean, that's just the nature of politics. But surely, Robbie Katter, on an issue like this, I mean, would you like to see some kind of, you know, let's lay down our swords and come together in a bipartisan way, invite some experts in, invite some community members in, all sides of politics, and just let's just try and put some solutions on the table and consider them all. I mean, surely this issue deserves that.
Yep, and you know, if I'm excluded from that, fine, as long as some real options. But I've in fact been a part of coordinating that in Townsville, and it was good. We got a couple of Labor MPs, but I've got to say their demeanour was pretty weak. You know, they were obviously sort of there begrudgingly because politically they had no choice but to attend. It would look bad if they didn't, but it was chaired by an independent person in Townsville, and we should be doing the same thing in Cairns, I think, because look, I don't even know how you describe this anymore because I think it's beyond crisis when you say 900 this year already in Cairns. And here's the horrible thing. Politically, the government's in the they're in a sweet position on this because the more we talk about it, the worse it is for our, you know, our livability, selling the region. And so they know that it's costing us It's a double-edged sword for politicians who have to speak up about this. And I've been criticised by other people in the media saying, it's like you're using this for political purposes, this youth crime issue. And that's pretty unfair on MPs that do speak up on it.
Exactly.
Crikey, there's a lot I'd rather much prefer.
That's right. You've got other things to talk about.
Yeah. And here, you know, I was in the media talking about TripAdvisor saying, don't stop at Mount Isa. It's unsafe. Now, I hate saying that. And I hate doing that to my town, but that's the truth. And, you know, until you acknowledge reality, you're not going to get any action. So, you know, these Labor MPs have got to at least be acknowledging that problem and saying it publicly, not saying it behind closed doors, saying it very publicly. So the people in Cairns, Towns or Mount Isa, which are the worst affected places, at least they know that the government knows what we are feeling and experiencing on the ground. Because I think it's the opposite at the moment. I think Leanne Lennard, Mark Ryan, the Youth Justice Minister and the Police Minister and the Premier, I think they're living in this delusion where, and the bureaucrats are keeping in that space where they think, oh, it's probably not as bad as everyone thinks. So I drove down the main street of Cairns. I didn't see any crime when I drove, drove in there for the day.
Yeah.
So it's probably not as bad as everyone says, and here's the stat.
Pulled into a 5-star hotel in the Cairns CBD, didn't see crime, so everything is fine. Robbie Katter, I mean, is it just that they are too comfortable? I mean, that's the only reason I can think is they must know the anger in the community. They get tagged on Facebook, they read it in the media, they hear it on the radio, they must know, but they refuse to acknowledge it. Are they just too comfortable?
Precisely, Gavin. They've got an awesome media machine working for them.
Yes.
So if I come out with something or Dave Crisafulli comes out with something, and it's good and it's solid and it's attacking the government, rest assured the next day they'll have an announcement on the Olympic Games I come up there trying to fix blue cards for the Aboriginal communities. Within a day, the Premier's there announcing giving land back to Cape communities. They've got an awesome machine, very slick. And an unprecedented level of media, taxpayer-funded media support. I hear Danielle Andrews has got 80 media staff in Victoria, and she's got 30. Well, she's never argued with 30, so I assume it's more than 30.
Yes.
And that's not counting all the department media that get used for the government.
Mm.
So they're just an awesome media machine. They're arrogant, and they're treating us, you know, they're treating the public as they should. They're lazy, complacent. It's very difficult to beat them at the moment. I really just hope that people can sort of see through and acknowledge what they really intrinsically feel and experience in these areas and judge them accordingly. That's the best we can hope for.
Exactly right. It seems like a never-ending fight given, you know, you raised this issue, as I said, at the start of the year. So it's 9 or 10 months ago. To me, a very practical, very sensible idea. You're not sort of prescribing exactly what it should look like. You're just saying, let's look at world's best practice. There surely are examples around the world we can learn from mistakes that the LNP, that, you know, we were briefly in and stuffed up there at Kuranda, learn from those mistakes and just make a new model. But they just refuse to do so. But so anyway, keep up the good fight, and mate, we appreciate your time on the show today.
I really appreciate it. Thanks, Gavin.
That's Robbie Katter from Katter's Australia Party. You're listening to The King Review.